We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's talk some Wisconsin basketball program, I guess, in general is the best way to put it. Jim Polzina of the State Journal now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jim, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. I guess watching that game the other day, It kind of shocked me that they got beat as bad as they did, but once Oregon started hitting buckets from the outside and they just looked to be able to run better than what Wisconsin did, it didn't shock me. It just seemed like everything got away from them. So give me your synopsis of the game and the demise of their season.
Yeah, I thought the second half was just very unlike Wisconsin in a lot of ways. Missed shots is one thing because they just didn't make shots the last 12 games basically, but I thought some of their defensive possessions were not good. They were sloppy with the ball. And on the flip side, Oregon was hitting shots. They were hitting contested shots, whereas Wisconsin wasn't. They were certainly more athletic than Wisconsin and could get to the basket and score more easy looks than Wisconsin could. And I thought that was a big difference, too. But it was just, I guess the most disappointing part for Wisconsin was that it just didn't even give itself a chance. It was a 5-point game with 6 or 7 minutes left, and then from that point on, there was just some really bad possessions on Wisconsin's part, both in terms of giving the ball away and taking some probably ill-advised shots. And Oregon took it and ran with it and put the game out of reach before there was really ever a crunch time.
When you say that, it's hard to believe, but I remember that with 5-something minutes to go, it's still a relatively close game. It's gainable, but it just never seemed like it was that close. That entire game never seemed like it was that close. They battled back and forth a little bit, and I kept thinking to myself, if Oregon starts to make a run and they finally start to hit the outside shots, how is Wisconsin going to catch them? Wisconsin just didn't look like they ever got into a flow or ever got into a rhythm. So when you say that, it takes me back a little bit because I'm thinking to myself, it just never felt that it was that close at all. You know what I mean?
I kind of felt, as the second half played out, I kind of felt like Wisconsin, at some point I felt like Wisconsin's going to have to be perfect from here on out. Almost perfect because they're outmatched. They're outmatched by a lot at point guard. They were... Oregon had the best defensive player on the floor. They had, a McDonald's All-American freshman wing who was, just a lot better than the guy he's matched up against. So it's just, you looked almost position by position, and Oregon's better. And so I'm like, Wisconsin's going to have to just play perfect. They're finally going to have to start hitting some shots. They're going to have to not turn the ball over. They're going to have to be – these defensive possessions, they're just going to have to grind out somehow and give themselves a chance. Like, all you can hope for is to get to that final media timeout and have a chance and basically win a grinder. And that didn't happen. Like I said, Oregon's really good. Like I came on your show last week and didn't know what to make of Oregon or Oregon. I'm probably saying it wrong.
Potato.
And it's like, I didn't know what to make of them because of the Pac-12 and how bad that was. But, I was very wrong on Oregon. I just think they've clicked at the right time of year, and then part of that is just their roster construction. They're young, they got a grad transfer, they lost their best player to injury. I just think it took that team, which was a top 15 team entering the season, some time to click, and now they're clicking, and now they're really playing as well as almost anybody. I would not be shocked if they gave Virginia a really, really tough game on Thursday in Louisville.
Now it's life after Ethan Happ. What does this team have in the pipeline that you can say, here's what you can hang your hat on?
Well, you got to hope. There's a little bit of hope if you're a Wisconsin fan. And part of it is just Nate Reavers making a big jump. And we've seen players do that from sophomore to junior year. He's shown signs of being a really, really good player. Is he an all Big Ten type player next season? That would go a long way in helping this team. Colby King is another guy that I think in time is going to be a really, really good player. We haven't seen it consistently. We've seen just little flashes of it. I think now that, by the time next season starts, he's going to be almost 2 years removed from his knee injury, which is a bone injury, and those take a little bit longer to heal. And I think he could be a little more explosive, a little more experienced. I think he could be a really helpful player. The guards need to develop. That's very clear. Those guys need to get better. And then, you know, I expect Happ to get replaced in the starting lineup by a guy named Micah Potter, who sat out the season after transferring from Ohio State. He's not going to be Ethan Happ, but he's different. He's a guy that can go outside and shoot. I just think the offense is going to look way different next year in terms of what they can do. They can get back to the true swing and be able to have your big guys that can pop inside and pop outside, just because you couldn't do that with Ethan Happ. I mean, he's a guy that was very limited in where he scored, and Khalil Iverson too, to a certain degree. And it made it you know, somewhat easy to defend Wisconsin, because you could just clog the paint, especially a team like Oregon could just, you know, they had 2 6-9 shot blockers, and those guys could sit back and wait because they didn't really have to follow Iverson and Happ out on the perimeter because they just weren't a threat there. So I think there'll be more, you know, I think there's going to be more balance next year. It's not going to be such a high usage player dominating the offense. And so I think they could be a different look. Now, will it be better or more efficient? I don't know. And there's certainly concerns defensively, because Happ and Iverson were their two best defenders and rebounders. So there's ground to make up on that end of the court for sure.
How is, by the way, we're talking with our buddy Jim Polzino of the State Journal, talking some Badger basketball. How is the recruiting for Wisconsin? Because Greg Gard was the guy for Bo. And he was a guy that got him in a lot of doors, and then Bo would either say, okay, you're either going to earn minutes or you're going to go elsewhere, and then that was kind of the way the decision was made. How has his guard with his recruiting, in your opinion, been?
You know, if you, not to make this too long-winded, but if you look at class by class by class, he took over, got the full-time job, and that spring landed Trice and Ford. And say what you want about those players, but they're both rotation players, and, you know, when you're getting them late in the spring, you know, you kind of get what you get at that point. It's not a full recruiting cycle. You get in the midst of a coaching transition. So I look at that first class of Trice and Ford as a positive, a success. The next class is Davis and Reavers and King, which, you know, if you go by recruiting rankings, is the best or one of the best recruiting classes in program history. And I think there's a lot to like with that class. The next class is Ty Strickland and Taylor Curry and Joe Hedstrom. Well, for a long time, for 10 months, that class was Tyler Herro. And when he decommitted 3 weeks before signing day, their plan B, their plan C were gone at that point, and they had to scramble. So it's, you know, you look at that class, and none of those three contributed this year, and I don't know when they'll contribute, because they're all developmental type players. And I'm not trying to give Gard a pass on that one, but let's face it, he thought he had a top 50 player.
What happened there? What happened there?
I think Tyler Herro just blew up. I mean, he became a better player AAU on the AAU circuit, and he went out to some camps and out in Colorado Springs, and Kentucky started sniffing around. And frankly, you know, I think Tyler Herro views himself as a one-and-done player, and Kentucky is one of the better places you can go to develop yourself into an NBA player. And so I don't blame, you know, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm blaming Tyler Herro for making what is a decent, a really decent business decision. I mean, he's going to go play in a more up-tempo style at Kentucky, and he's going to be more visible to NBA scouts because he's playing around more NBA talent. So I get why he did what he did. All I'm saying is that from Wisconsin's perspective, I don't know what they could have done to stop it. And at that point, you know, your plan B and plan C are kind of out the window, so you're really left scrambling. So that's that class. Next year they got Tyler Wall from Minnesota coming in. I think he's a guy that fits very much into their, the profile of what Wisconsin's always won with. He's a guy that can play on both ends of the court. I think he's going to be a rotation player. I think he'll be a really nice player here. Which brings us to 2020. I mean, it goes without saying, it's a huge, huge year for Wisconsin. They've got to find some really good players, some difference makers, and they're recruiting Johnny Davis all over the cross. I mean, that's one guy they've been after for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to somehow find a way to land him.
Are they not, how do I put this? Big schools go into big basketball areas. You go into the Chicago area. You go into the New York area. You go into different areas like that. Is this group not able to get kind of real guys out of there, that second-level guy out of there that isn't going to Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky?
Yeah, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about it in terms of that. I mean, traditionally, this program's gotten guys from in-state, and that's been a problem, you know, lately, as I've mentioned. They've been really good in Minnesota. That pipeline's pretty much continued with Davison and Reavers and Wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ohio's been a pretty good area for this program, and they haven't landed anybody out of there, I don't think, since since Khalil Iverson. They've gotten into Michigan a little bit. They've got a 2020 recruit, Lauren Bowman, who I think is, you know, I haven't seen him in person, so it's take it with a grain of salt, but I think he's a really nice player and can help this program. And, you know, they've dabbled in Illinois. They've looked around other places. So I don't know that, they ever have said we're going to recruit a certain area, but you got to find guys. I mean, let's face it. Some of the guys that they've landed over the years that have been really good players have not been quote unquote highly rated players. Orlando Tucker was not a highly rated player out of Illinois. John Lewis out of Minnesota, Jordan Taylor out of Minnesota. You got to find those guys, get to them before others do, and then develop them. That's the key too. Is, you know, can this program develop players? And, you know, I think the jury's still out on that one.
Good stuff, Jim. We certainly appreciate it. Enjoy a little bit, at least a short bit of downtime before you get into spring practice, and then we kind of go from there, okay?
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Jim Polzin of the State Journal joining us for a couple of minutes, kind of giving us the post-mortem on the end of the Badgers basketball season. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. They've been doing it for 80-plus years. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.